Man, we're glad to be able to contribute a little bit every now and then through the association, and not only the wonderful things God's allowing us to do, but get resources sometimes we're able to share through the backpacks, through the food ministry. We're just thankful for the privilege to share, and I'm glad to be with you this morning. Appreciate the opportunity always to stand. If you want to be turning in your Bibles, I'll be reading from Philippians chapter 3. Mike sent a text last night and said, if you've got your message and your title, go ahead and send it. Well, I had it, and I did, and I looked a while ago, and the message failed to send. So you should have it now. I resent it. But it's in Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to be talking about inventory this morning leaning on the spiritual lines as we look in Philippians chapter 3 this morning. Glad to have my wife and daughter-in-law with us this morning. I mean, granddaughter. Where'd that come from? My granddaughter. My mother-in-law is usually with us, but she's not feeling well this morning. We would have had 4 generations here, but we left her at home. She's 91 now, not feeling the best, so pray for her. But I am glad to have Kathy and Ginger and Abigail with us this morning. Also pray for us. We'll be leaving on the 16th, going to Jamaica on a mission trip. We have about 11 people going this trip, be doing revivals and construction. And that'll be, so in 2 weeks I'll be in Jamaica preaching. So remember that trip and just pray for God's will to be done. Would you stand in reverence to God's Word? Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at verses 12, 13, and 14. Paul has already, if you go back and you look in the previous verses, he's talking about how God had saved him, how he was so blessed and in the knowledge of God and his faith in him. And then in verse 12 he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we again just delight in you and thank you for the privilege to be able to worship you this morning. We thank you for the sweet spirits we felt here today as we sung about your greatness and your holiness, and Father, just drawing closer to you. And I know that you inhabit the praise of your people. And I just ask that you'll bless us collectively this morning as we continue to worship, and you'll speak to our hearts and help us, dear Heavenly Father, each one just to be drawn closer to you. Father, as we enter into this new year, may our commitment, our dedication to you be more than it ever has been before. Forgive us where we failed you and just bless in these few moments. And if there's any need in this congregation, help them to know that in Jesus Christ they can find the answer. For it is in His name we humbly pray. Amen. You may be seated. Before God called me into the ministry, I owned a couple of grocery stores. My brother and I did. Actually, we owned one here in Ellijay for years. But that's been about, 35 years ago that we sold the grocery stores and God called us both into ministry. Both of us are pastors and serving the Lord. But at the end of every year, before the end of the year was out, we'd always take an inventory. We wanted to find out if we'd made any money, if things were going well for the business. You know, a lot of times we didn't have any money in the bank, so we had to do an inventory to see if our money was invested in our stock and if we were really profiting any at all. Well, as I want to challenge us this morning as we think about inventory, I want us to think about a spiritual inventory. And I want us to evaluate ourselves. We've just come through 2014 and we've just stepped in. This is the first Sunday of a new year. And I want us to think about where you began 2014 and where you ended 2014 and as you step into 2015. is your relationship with the Lord, is it stronger in the beginning of 2015 than it was in the beginning of 2014? As you think about, and there's a lot of things I guess we could inventory in our life. We could say, is my Bible reading better? Have I grown spiritually in my relationship with the Lord? Is my prayer life better? Have I spent more time witnessing and telling other people about Jesus Christ? How's my church attendance? How's my giving? And on, we could go and talk about our spiritual growth and our spiritual relationship with the Lord. And I just want you to think about that for a few moments today as we reflect on where we've been and where we're going. And I sense that's what the Apostle Paul was doing here in these verses I read this morning. He's talking about being apprehended by Christ Jesus and the purpose for which he was apprehended. And this isn't the first time that it wasn't the only time that he had stopped and given evaluation of himself. If you go back and you look in Romans, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 7. There you'll hear Paul talking about living in this body of flesh, and you'll hear him say, the things that I should do, I don't do those things that I should do, and the things that I shouldn't do, I end up doing those things. I'm just in a struggle. He was evaluating himself, and he came to the conclusion and said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of flesh?" He was evaluating where he was spiritually and how he was growing, and he was looking and reflecting back on himself. And in another place in Hebrews, and a lot of people contribute the writing of Hebrews to the Apostle Paul, and in the 12th chapter, right after following that roll call of the Hebrews of faith, we see Paul reflecting, or whoever the writer was, and we'll just call him Paul because I think it's a good verse. He was reflecting and he was looking at the characteristics of all these people who were serving the Lord, had served them faithfully, and he said of himself, "I'll lay aside every sin and every weight that doeth so quickly beset me, and I'll run with patience the prize that is set before me." Well, back in our text this morning, as Paul was thinking about and reflecting on what God had apprehended him for, he said, "Brethren," in verse 13. He's talking to believers. He's talking to those that would understand. And I'm assuming this morning I'm talking to those who are believers, those who will understand what it is that we're talking about when we evaluate ourselves in light of who Jesus Christ is. And Paul said, "Brethren, I want you to understand, I have not arrived. I have not attained or apprehended what God has called me to be. I have failed in so many ways," Paul was saying. And I can say the same about myself. I certainly have not arrived. I'm still a work in progress. God is still working on me. And I think if we'll all be honest with ourselves, that as long as we're in this body of flesh and we reflect back on our own lives, we all have room for improvement. We, like the Apostle Paul, can say, "Oh, wretched man that I am, I do the things that I shouldn't do and I don't do the things that I ought to do. Who's going to deliver me?" And the Apostle Paul was certainly saying, "I am kind of being weighed in the balances. I haven't arrived, and I need to move up a little bit more." You know, I thought about as I was thinking about Paul, and he was reflecting on his own life and his own spiritual pilgrimage, and he felt like he just wasn't what he ought to be. I was reminded of what Daniel told Belshazzar. You'll remember the story. Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall, and he couldn't find anyone to interpret what the handwriting meant. And Daniel came in, a man of God, and he said, "I can tell you what it says." And the middle word was tekel, T-E-K-E-L. And that middle word says, "Belshazzar, you've been weighed in the balances, and you've found lacking." Well, I think that's what Paul would say in his own life, and that's what we could say in our own lives if we weighed our growth and our spiritual maturity and we inventoried ourselves, we would be certainly like Paul. We would be weighed in the balances and we would be found lacking. There would be areas in our life that we needed to improve on. Maybe some places we've grown, but there's other places that we're still a work in progress. I love that little song, He's Still Working on Me to Make Me What He Wants Me to Be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. You kind of feel like that today. I think that's what Paul was reflecting on as he was thinking about his own spiritual pilgrimage. And I see three things, three things that Paul said he was going to do. Although he said this one thing that I'm going to do, brethren, I count myself to not apprehended, but this one thing I will do. But I see three things that he's going to do. Maybe they're all focused on the same thing. First of all, he said, I'm going to forget those things that are past. I'm going to forget. And he's not saying that I'm going to forget where I came from, because Paul would always say he was the chief of sinners. Paul would always remember that he was saved there on the Damascus Road, that he was persecuting the church of Jesus Christ, and yet he could say, I'm going to forget the things that are past. What he simply was meaning was, I'm not going to let my past define who I am today. I'm not going to let my past hinder me in becoming what God wants me to become. I'm not going to let my past be an excuse for not serving the Lord every day as fully and completely as I possibly can. You know, I fear sometimes we get caught up in the past, and we let our past define where we're going today and tomorrow. I can still remember the lady that her husband had passed away, and I know we all grieve in different ways, but there was not a day that went by for almost 2 years that she was not at the graveyard, sitting beside that grave, letting the past control her and dictate her. And I think the Apostle Paul would say, I will grieve over the loss of my loved one, but I'm going to go on and serve the Lord and not let that situation rob me of being what God wants me to be. The Apostle Paul could have said, I've been shipwrecked, I've been hungry, I've been beaten without cause, I've been cast into prison without a reason, no fault of my own. And he could have just sat back and said, well, you know, I'm just tired of being beaten up. And he could have let his past rob him of being all that God wanted him to be. Well, we can do the same thing in our lives today. I still hear people say, well, I wish it was like the old days when people used to run to church and the houses were filled. Well, let's not live in the past. Let's live in the future. And that's where Paul goes on to say, I'm not going to let the past... Look again in verse 12 or verse 13. He says again, I'm forgetting those things that are behind me. Brethren, I count not myself to have arrived, but this one thing, forgetting those things are behind me, I'm going to reach for those things which are before me. Paul says, I'm going to live in the future. Beloved, do you understand today we have the greatest opportunity of the church that we've had in many years? At least statistically, in the world in which we're living today, 8 out of every 10 people you meet are lost without Jesus Christ. Oh, they may say they know Him, but they don't know Him personally in the free and full pardon of sin. It's the greatest day for evangelism that we have ever had in a long time. And we have an opportunity to live in the future and see great days for Crossroad Church, for all of our churches in our area, if we'll just get off of our blessed assurance and not live in the past and not let the things of the past tear us down, but get where God wants us to be. and serve Him. Tell others that God died for them, loves them, and made a way that they might be saved. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying. I'm not going to let my past hinder me and define who I am. I'm serving the Lord, and there's great days in the future when we serve the Lord. There's great days when we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. And that's what he simply goes on to say. You see, he said, I'm forgetting those things which are past, and I'm looking forward to those things that are ahead. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Simply what Paul is saying, I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus Christ. Nothing else is going to discourage me, my past, the future, but my eyes on Jesus Christ, and I'm going to serve Him. Beloved, when we can get to that place in our lives, I always preach when I was at Lebanon, served there for 24 years, and I said, if we can just ever get to the place where we all fall in love with Jesus, everything else will fall in place. If we'll just focus on Jesus Christ, that's what the Apostle Paul was saying. In each place where he evaluated himself and did that spiritual inventory, his hope was in Jesus Christ. You may weigh yourself in the balances and you may be found lacking, but you put Jesus Christ in the equation and praise God, those balances are going to go out of sight. Remember what Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of flesh? I thank God for the victory I have through Jesus Christ. Therein is our victory in Jesus Christ. We may do wrong today. We may think wrong today. But praise God, in Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven and there's hope and we can put our faith and trust in Him. That's what He says here. I will press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I'm going to focus on Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters. God help us to do that. In Hebrews chapter 12, where he said, as he was reflecting on those heroes of faith, and he said, I'll lay aside the sin and every weight which besets me, and I will run with patience the race that is set before me, keeping my eyes on Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of my faith. Folks, the hope that we can have for a bright future for us as individuals, us collectively as a church, is to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. When it becomes about what I want, I go into churches and they're in turmoil because one wants to sing Amazing Grace and the other wants to sing Amazing Grace, Amazing Grace, Amazing Grace. One of them's, you take any song and repeat it seven times and it becomes a contemporary music. So, it's not about the music, folks. It's about worshiping Jesus Christ. And that's what we've done here this morning. We have worshiped Him as we've sung praises to His name, as we've read His Word, and as we're listening to His Spirit as He speaks to us. Jesus Christ is the answer for whatever's wrong in our life. And if we can just be like the Apostle Paul and keep our eyes on Jesus, everything else will fall in place. You know, you may have heard my voice a while ago. I turned the mic on a little bit early, and so I tried not to sing too loudly. And if you heard it, you understand why they don't let me sing. But years ago, we used to sing a song. There's something about that name. You may be familiar with it. And there was a recitation that went along with "There's Something About That Name," and they allowed me to do that recitation. And if I can remember it, I want to conclude this sermon by just giving that recitation, because there is something about that name. And that's what the Apostle Paul was telling us here as he did his spiritual evaluation. Yes, he found himself lacking. He found himself being weighed in the balances, but he knew that the answer was in Jesus Christ. And his hope was in Jesus. And there is something about that name. At the name of Jesus, sin-hardened men are melted. Derelicts are transformed. The lights of hope are put back into the eyes of a hopeless child. At the name of Jesus, hatred and bitterness turn to love and forgiveness. Arguments cease. I've set beside a dying saint whose body racked with pain, who in her final fleeting seconds, earth
whispered earth's sweetest name, Jesus. Jesus. I've heard His name breathed at the bedside of a child delirious from fever. And I'm sure you've experienced this as well. And I've watched that little body grow quiet and the fever brow cooled. Emperors have tried to destroy it. Philosophies have tried to stamp it out. Tyrants have tried to wash it from the face of the earth with the very blood of those who claimed it. Yet still it stands. And there shall be that final day when every voice that has ever uttered a sound, every voice of Adam's race shall raise in one great mighty chorus to proclaim the name of Jesus. For in that day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So you see, it was not mere chance that caused an angel one night long ago to say to a virgin maiden, His name shall be called Jesus. 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 You know, there is something about that name. And may we learn like the Apostle Paul, if we'll just keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, He will deliver us. He will counteract the balances in our life where we fail to do what we ought to do and we do the things that we shouldn't do. Jesus Christ and His blood will cover us. And when we get focused on Him and it's all about Him, nothing else will really ever matter. So I challenge you in the year 2015, just keep your eyes on Jesus. Just put Him first in your life. Fall in love with Jesus Christ, because I guarantee you there's nothing that you're going to face that He can't handle. There's nothing too small that He don't care about. Jesus Christ will lift you up. Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul said. To me, the greatest missionary in the world, the Apostle Paul. And he had his eyes on Jesus Christ. God help you and I to do the same. Heavenly Father, thank You for the time to share together this morning. I just pray in the name of Jesus that You would help us keep our eyes upon You, and we would honor and serve You, Father, not only today, but every day. Father, it's more than just a Sunday morning experience. It's a relationship that impacts our lives, impacts our thinking, impacts our being every day of our lives. And help us as a congregation and individuals to just put You first in our life, to keep our eyes upon Jesus. I think about Peter when You came walking on the water, and Peter said, Lord, if it's You, bid me come. And he stepped out of the boat and he began to walk. But then, Lord, he took his eyes off of You and then he began to sink. When he began to look at the world around him. Father, the same thing is true for us. If we get our eyes off of You, we're going to face troubles and difficulties. But Lord, if we'll just keep our eyes on You, right now we can say like Peter, Lord, save me. And You'll just reach down and lift us up from whatever trouble that we're in. Because, Lord, it's not a...